The views expressed on the Big Shiny podcast do not express the views of Big Shiny Robot as a whole, its subsidiaries, or its sponsors.
And the Big Shiny podcast contains coarse language like penis butt. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey man, I'm Kevin Smith.
Jason Mewes.
Welcome to Big Shiny Robot.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Big Shiny Podcast. We're all drunk.
What?
Sitting to my right, Jimmy.
Yo.
You've been really quiet.
You were really jacked quiet up on this episode. Caffeine, man.
What is that?
Just trying to stay normal.
Fair.
Hey,
fair. Sitting next to him, drunk Tom.
Trying to stay normal.
I don't have words, but there's a lot of like flashy things on the screen and meters happening. I assume that's internet audio. I don't even fucking know.
He's watching
porn over there.
I'm going to get an email from Tom tomorrow like, guys, none of this recorded.
What were you doing?
I didn't hit the R button.
Let's play Tetris.
Sitting next to him, Tom. Or Kylie, sorry.
Tom, tell me about your thoughts.
What's that?
Infinity Crisis.
Cunt crack.
Jesus.
That's a good one.
Wow. Alliteration.
Yeah. I stole that from Kevin Smith a few weeks ago when I saw him.
Oh, cool. Enough.
And
co-founder of BigShinyRobot.com, Lucas.
Hello, everyone.
And I am your host, Tyson. And joining us once again this week is our guest, Esteban.
What's up, bitch?
Guesteban.
Guesteban. Yeah, I'll guest, take that.
He's our Guesteban. All right, so this episode we're covering comics, collectibles, and video games. So, Kylie, Lucas, why don't you guys go ahead and start us off with your usual comic selections.
Comics.
So I'm going to talk about a couple first, and then maybe you and I can talk about Chrononauts, and you can go into your shit.
Yeah, whatever you want to do together, I'm cool with.
Yeah.
Heard that before.
So the first one...
So the hand job's going on under weekend. The table tonight.
The first one is a book called Squarriors.
Squires,
yeah,
come out and play.
It's from.
Yeah. Oh man, see Tom kills if anybody that's not on the podcast. Yeah. Esteban's losing shit. Yeah.
Oh, I've been holding that in for like 2.5 hours.
I'm glad you saved it for when we were actually talking about the fucking book, and not like
I
a
wish
week
it was
ago
there.
When we were talking about Daredevil.
Oh god. Damn.
That would have been...
Good timing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
So, good luck. Talk about it.
So,
on to collectibles.
I actually added this to my hold just because of the cover and the name. I was like, I am going to pick up Squarriors. Are you kidding me? It's gorgeous. The artwork is gorgeous. Basically, it takes place, I want to say, in like 1986.
Clearly.
No, like the first couple pages, it's something is happening in the world. You don't know what's happening, but like the National Guard is called out. Shit's going down. And then it jumps ahead like 10 years and it's the animals, basically. You don't know what's happened to the human race, but they're gone. Whatever was happening at the beginning, they're gone. But it's like a very dark version of the Secret of Nim, basically. You've got these warring clans. And it's not just squirrels, it's who's ever...
Foxes and stuff.
Yeah, you've got... Yeah, exactly.
What does the fox say?
It says a lot of stuff.
Don't encourage him.
But that has actually been pretty fun. Like I said, the art is just gorgeous.
The art is really good. But I'll tell you what, right now, like I couldn't give a fuck less about
I'm not going to lie, my daughter reads a book called
like,
The Warriors
this, like, oh,
that reminds
really
me of this shit. Is this about animals?
It is, yes.
Okay, yeah.
It would be awesome if they just chirped like every... didn't say any words. It's just like click, click, click.
Just to clarify, wait, these animals are talking to each other.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. There's a fat fucking gopher.
My dog
with a sword.
It's kind of graphic. It's pretty graphic.
This is cool.
But it's
this is way fucking...
It's been
cool.
Fun so far.
Jesus.
I'm kind of curious. There is two issues out, but I'm kind of curious how with the art style how often they will come out. Jeez. Because that's pretty...
Is that an asshole?
It's pretty awesome art. That was the squirrel's asshole that you just saw.
You got my attention.
But no, basically it's about this clan called the... Oh, the hell are the Ticknicks or something, and they're trying to, they need to move, but by moving they're going to be breaking some boundaries from some other clans, and they're basically going to go to war.
So it's kind of like the Fraggle Rocks, basically.
I never watched Fraggle Rocks, so I don't know.
No, nobody.
Tommy going for broke now.
Am I the only one that knows the Fraggle Rock theme song? Come on.
No, we all knew.
Okay.
I've never seen an episode. I've never watched the Fraggle Rock. I'm too old.
That's the only why you have the special edition.
Is there a special
edition? This podcast
is a Blu-ray special issues?
Edition. I believe it's ongoing, but there's only two issues out so far. The next one I'm going to talk about is from Dark Horse. This is only a 5-issue series. It's called Lady Killer.
Yeah, I want to know more about this.
From Jolie Jones, I believe, is how you pronounce this. The art is amazing. And it's just about like this little homemaker wife who's got a family at home, but she works for a company that, like, okay, this is your next job. You need to go kill this person. Mm-hmm. She's an assassin. She doesn't use guns. She's big on knives. That's her specialty, is she uses
knives. Is that like 50s? Yeah. It looks like kind of 50s.
It seems like it's kind of 50s or 60s.
It reminds me a lot of, do you remember the Milkman Murders?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of like that.
Oh, yeah. That reminds me kind of pinup style.
Yeah. The art's gorgeous. But she, there's a point in here where it kind of reminds me of Red, if anyone has seen the movie or read the comic book.
Yeah.
Where basically her boss is like, she's too crazy. We need to put her down, basically. We need to give her a job that she's not going to fulfill, and then we can take her out. And basically they set her up to go kill a little boy, and she can't do it, and they've sent her kind of handler to kill her. And that's been pretty fun. It's been an awesome book.
That's awesome. I'm going to take a picture of that. I don't remember that.
John Wick style, kind of send him to do this impossible
exactly,
job.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I guess in John Wick, he does. Did anybody see that?
Oh yeah, we talked
about it. We all saw the greatest movie ever made.
Okay,
don't you listen to this podcast?
Jesus
Christ. I don't it's not great.
Oh my God, a Nutwork Orange? Tom, get a picture of that. I want a picture with it.
Hey, my phone's dead. Where's yours?
Hold it up. Let's see this.
Are you using Shanna's phone?
Oh, that's what fantastic. Is this?
That's my work phone.
Fantastic. Oh, yeah, look at that. A little squirrel.
Do you think there's a squirrel rape scene in that book?
With the squirrel dick?
Squirrel on squirrel action. I believe there's a
squirrel.
So the next one we're going to talk about, because I know Lucas has read this one. It's the new Mark Miller with Sean Murphy.
For the record, I want to be knowledgeable about something. Sean Murphy did Punk Rock Jesus.
He did indeed.
Which is fucking awesome.
He's a great artist.
Continue.
Yes. I dig his art quite a bit. This one is called Chrononauts. And it kind of starts out with them going to all these different sites and finding like modern shit there, like these sites that are like, you know, thousands of years old, and they find a jet plane in there. They're finding motorcycles. They're finding weird stuff there.
Like apocalyptic?
No, not at all. No, not at all. It turns out that NASA has been messing around with time travel.
Bunch of dicks.
And they've got a satellite, basically, that can see different, so they can like actually they're recording the Civil War. They're showing this on live TV, like
from
the
satellite view.
From the satellite view. This is the Civil War happening. This, you know, they have the technology now to see into the past. And the book, and I was kind of talking about this off the podcast, but I felt the first issue they could have put more story in and covered all the stuff in the first issue in a couple of issues to kind of go into a little more detail of what was happening. But eventually they come up with these suits where people can actually now travel back through time. And the very end of the issue, there's only one issue out so far. The very end of the issue, these two guys are going to jump back in time. The first guy goes and something hits him like as he's traveling through time and sends him like, I can't even remember what year it was. It was fucking like 1805 or something in the middle of nowhere. So his buddy, the next guy, he decides to go after and help him, and as he lands in that time, the first thing, I think an arrow hits him through the leg, and he looks up and there's just this horde of people on horses with fucking arrows and shit, and I think it ends with an arrow like hitting him in the chest.
Yeah, so is this going to be like kind of a detrimental like you step on a butterfly and it's gonna fuck up.
Very much so. They do bring that up.
So it's not like a vacation.
Because type. they had planned on, I can't remember where they had planned on going, but they had stuff planned out. They were gonna do their trip and it was gonna be good. They had It's called Chrononauts.
It's really good.
Yeah, but they were very worried after he had, you know, they lost control of him that shit's gonna get fucked up if he stays there. So they needed to go get him back.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
And it's Mark Miller, so people, I like him. People are kind of hit and miss with him, but one thing I like about him is he just tells concise stories. It's never an ongoing thing. It's like, here's the story. Usually within 5 or 6 issues, you get a whole story, and then he's on to the pretty next thing.
Decent.
Artwork's great. I'll pass this around so people can.
Sean Murphy's one of the better unused artists up until this book, at least.
I concur. And what do you have, Mr. Lucas?
So I brought a couple different things that I read. This was based on Josh's recommendation for Night Flight. Jason Aaron, who's awesome. Doing the Star Wars books right now.
He's doing Star Wars and he's doing Thor.
He's doing Thor and he also did a series that they were talking about, Scout, that I didn't read, but I guess it's amazing.
I haven't read that yet, but I've heard nothing but awesomeness about Scout.
So this was another book that felt like a bite-sized thing to try out Jason Aaron. It's called Southern Bastards.
Oh, I've heard good things about this, actually.
The first collection is $10. The artist is Jason Latour.
It must be an Image book.
Yeah, it's Image, which they're fucking geniuses, as always. Here, try out the first 5 or 6 issues for under what they cost. It's kind of a classic, if you think like a Clint Eastwood story. You could mix this with... Anyhow, so this character, Earl, he's an older gentleman. You don't know much about him. He's gone home because one of his family members, they don't disclose, has passed away, and he's cleaning up their belongings. I believe it's his dad. And you kind of get the picture that his dad was a police officer, and not a lot of people liked him. And one of the things he had done, it's pretty badass, is this tree out front of this house, this gang showed up to beat the shit out of his dad for not like bending under their will and being a crooked cop. And so he takes a tree branch from the tree and beats the fuck out of all these guys. And there's this legend about his dad and that his son never really lived up to that. So he's gone home to kind of clean up these things and get out of town. But while he's there, of course, the city is crooked and there's this mob running the whole thing. And he catches wind of this and he can't let it go. So he gets like involved into this thing and that thing.
Like a walking tall.
That's
what kind of popped in my head when you were talking about this. And seeing the artwork on the cover... Seeing him hold that big branch or whatever reminds me of The Walking Tall.
It's definitely very similar. I highly recommend this. I liked it a lot, and I look forward to reading more. I think there's a second collection, but not a third yet.
I don't even think a second collection is out quite yet.
What was that?
I can hook you up with Scalped.
Yeah, maybe we do a little trade here, and you can read this guy. I'm gonna pile this on yours.
Yeah, by all means.
Let me kick over to Ninja Turtles. I brought the wrong issue, but in the most recent issue of Ninja Turtles. There's a lot of speculation as to whether or not Donatello is dead. So he was.
If he's not, there's going to be a lot of pissed off people who bought that issue on eBay.
Yeah, probably. I don't see them killing off one of the four turtles, but so Donatello had kind of been
the best turtle, for the record.
Rob Paulsen, my favorite. So Donatello had set up this plan to attack the Technodrome to stop Krang. Right, and part of it involved getting Shredder to help them, and Shredder to go through this portal to go attack Krang. And Shredder tells him, "Don't you fucking double cross me! And I'm gonna Bebop and Rocksteady are gonna stay here. And then if anything happens, they're gonna kill you. Otherwise, I'm gonna go take care of this Krang thing." And sure enough, Donatello kind of double crossed him, knowing that Krang was gonna be right through the portal. But anyhow, at the end of 2 or 3 issues of the fight with the Technodrome, where the turtles, of course, win. Shredder feels that he's been double-crossed, and he tells Bebop and Rocksteady to take care of it. And so Donatello tries to fight him, and he tries to get away to no avail. And one of the last panels in the fight is, I believe it's Rocksteady taking a sledgehammer to Donatello, and you don't see it. But then as it pans away to another shot, his shell is just broken apart, and he's laying on the ground, and he's not moving. And later on, the turtles show up with Splinter, and Splinter's like upset and crying and talking about his son. And you get the impression that he's dead, but, you know, comic books.
Well, who was the lady there that said, "We tried, but we were just too late"?
She's a new character. I forget her name, but she was in the Purple Dragons.
Oh, okay.
And she knew Casey Jones from before, and so she was, you kind of get the impression that her and Casey Jones maybe had something, maybe didn't, but she started palling around with Donatello and the guy that helped him create the portal, and she's been wearing the super suit that this guy had made.
I wish I could remember her name right now, but
yeah, I don't remember.
She's awesome though. Well, and she,
that's Devon's having a great time.
She stands up to Casey Jones' dad in a couple of issues. It's a really awesome
Hun.
Yeah, to Hun. It's a really,
because he takes over the gang that she's a part of.
I remember what I wanted to say since we were talking about Jason Aaron. You'd mentioned the Star Wars books. Did you pick up Darth Vader? Are you picking that up?
I picked it up. I haven't read it yet.
Oh my god!
Is he writing that one too?
He's not. It's who the fuck is writing Darth Vader? I can't remember who's writing Darth Vader. But there's in this new issue, they go to Genosha. And because he wants an army for himself, because the Emperor's trying to fuck him, and he wants to protect himself.
And Genosha's where they had the clones made.
Exactly. So he goes to Genosha, and they have, it was like a total ripoff of Aliens. Like, there's the one Genoshian queen, and she's even got like the weird head, like the alien queen, and she's hooked up, and she's popping eggs out.
I'm oh,
like,
wow, really?
What the fuck? There's 4 issues in, and you're already stealing from other things,
and we're out of ideas.
Yeah,
that's a weird Star Wars
story. It was weird. Well, I'll be curious to see what you think when you read it.
I'll have to read that.
I kept flipping back. I'd like read another page. I'm like, no, what? No, because it's like a big spread when you get to it. It's like, well, this is just aliens.
That sounds really bizarre for Darth Vader.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. But oh, Spider-Man.
So did you read this?
I did.
So
it's kind of bummed how it ended because it was it's the final issue.
So Miles Morales. He told his girlfriend, I think I'd mentioned to you guys, that he's Spider-Man, and he...
Who are her parents?
Huh?
Did they ever talk about who her parents are?
Yeah, they're so he tells her, and it turns out they're Hydra agents, and so when he goes over there to talk to her dad about, like, their relationship, he's unaware of this, and he gets drugged, and now he's in this Hydra facility. Dr. Doom shows up, and they're like, well, you're a huge mistake, and you're
him
a fantastic
and Spider
mistake.
Woman.
Yeah, Jessica Drew, is that
yeah, right? I think so. Yeah, yep. Jessica Drew. They're both held captive.
Because she tried to help save the day, but she got fucked up too. So, like, you're a huge mistake, and she's an experiment that's a huge mistake, but you're both, like, this fantastic thing that Osborn could never recreate, and we're going to dissect you, and we're going to recreate our own spider army, so, you know, like, prepare to die. It's going to be for the greater good of Hydra. And meanwhile, his buddies, Cloak and Dagger, are trying to find him, and they're hunting down, and you're getting a lot of their perspective. And then when they finally show up, he's actually broken free already and beaten the fuck out of everybody.
Well, and it's the one friend. Is it the roommate?
Yeah.
It's a roommate from the school they go to, and he's figured out who he is.
It's not Gonky, it's somebody else?
No, it's the other. It's the black kid with the big fro.
Oh, yeah.
And he even asked Gonky. He's like, I know who he is. I know he's Spider-Man. They're playing dumb, of course. But he goes to the dorm room or wherever they're living, and it's all a mess, and so he goes to the apartment, his dad's apartment, and it's all a mess, and that's when Cloak and Dagger show up, and he's like, I think he's in trouble, I know who he is, we need to find him, something's wrong.
And Cloak and Dagger are awesome. I wish there was more of them in the comics.
Really cool.
It was sad
they were wasted in the new Ultimates book.
And is it Danvers?
God, it's so bad.
It was Maria Hill.
Maria Hill, Maria Hill.
She's just a regular beat cop at this point.
And they tell her, like, we know where Miles is, we need your help. You know, come with us, and then they use Cloak to go to where he is. So he ends up, of course, breaking free,
and they disintegrate
the fucking Hydra station. And then when they get out of the business building up on the top of the factory, they look up, and there's like some big world shape, and then that's the end of this, and it's supposed to start Ultimate End.
Basically, if you're reading the Avengers books in the regular Marvel Universe, it's the incursion that's happening. So that world they're seeing is the 616 universe ready to collide with their world.
Oh, really?
So that's what's happening.
And I kind of assume that, and I don't understand where the Secret War is supposed to take place.
I have no idea.
Because that's in another dimension
originally,
right?
What's been going on with the Avengers books, especially New Avengers, because it's the Illuminati that has discovered. This stems back to them putting the gauntlet back together and Captain America using the Infinity Gauntlet to stop the original incursion that was happening. But they keep coming. So they only have so many hours before the worlds collide and they're dead. But this Secret Wars is the final two. There's two worlds left because everything else has imploded on each other.
Interesting.
I don't know where the Secret Wars comes in, but basically it's going to end up with the Ultimate Universe and the 616 merging somehow.
Yeah, and you'll have Miles Morales.
And that's the this is a spoiler for the Deadpool fans out there because this came out this week. The death of Deadpool. huge $10 book. There's multiple stories in the book, but it's the first story that actually is the death of Deadpool. And I would just kind of flip through it to see how he died. And it's basically the incursion happens and the whole world dies. And that's how he dies. He just kind of disintegrates with everything else. And I'm like, well, that was kind of lackluster for the death of Deadpool.
Can I ask you this, though? Like, honestly, whenever you hear about the death of this character, whoever it may be, how do you guys honestly feel about whenever they announce, like, the death of this character?
So they did the death of Wolverine recently. And
I still haven't read
of
that.
Course, the first thing you think of, it's like that's a moneymaker right there. He's not going to stay dead.
Yeah.
But the story, the 4-part story they did was awesome. It was well written. But at the end of that story, it didn't have a big impact on me because you hit that last page and you're like, he's not dead. See, he's going to come back.
The problem for me is every time I hear about like the death of Captain America, oh, yeah, and the death of this character, it's are you just trying to get my dollar?
Yeah, like, exactly honest, what like, honestly, doing. That's like, all it is.
See, and that's, you know, me, it's just kind of, you know, they're taking me for a ride, mm-hmm, you know, because like I mean, you know, 10 issues later or an issue later, like, oh, yeah, no, he was hiding behind a dumpster behind the back alley. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just this guy, you know, like, you know.
And that brings up a really good, back in the 90s, X-Men were huge. Every fucking Marvel book was X this or X that. Mm-hmm. It got ridiculous to the point that I just stopped reading a lot of the X-Men books, just dropped them all because everything was a mutant book at that point. Then years later, Grant Morrison jumped on and did the new X-Men. And someone was telling me about that, and it sounded pretty cool. So I picked that up, and the story was amazing. And the way it ended was basically this one of the teachers at the school, his name was Zorn. He always wore a mask. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the series, his run, he takes the mask off and reveals that I'm actually Magneto, and I've been in the school. I'm fucking things up. And while he's telling his big plan, Wolverine just comes up and takes his head off.
And it's fucking
and I was
awesome.
Like, this was amazing. It was really awesome. And then I don't know how long it was until Magneto shows up again.
A year.
I was like, wait a minute.
Was it Joseph? Did they ever do that?
I want to say that's who it was.
Yeah.
Originally, that's who. But that's so that was their little retcon of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Was like, well, that wasn't really Magneto.
You know,
and I'm like,
you know,
you just ruined that story for
me. See, like, well, see, Ultimate Spider-Man for me is the only death that has happened and mattered.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing, you know, if you're going to kill off
the character. I actually want to add to that, the Jason Aaron run of Punisher, where they killed off Frank, that was really, really cool.
That was great.
That was awesome.
I will argue with Al at the store, because he says the Garth Ennis stuff of Punisher is his favorite stuff. That Jason Aaron run was amazing.
The Garth Ennis stuff has really good stories, but the Jason Aaron is more complete.
Oh, it's good, yeah. I mean, that first issue.
It follows what the Garth Ennis stuff did.
That first issue where they send the Mennonite after him, and he's got broken fingers. He gets his ass kicked. I mean, it shows that he is
the Jesus guy. Do you remember him in jail? Yeah. That was fucking amazing.
Anytime Frank Castle, like the cell, anytime he's in jail, like the best.
He's strapped up to the bed, and there's all these guys outside his door, but no one will go in.
I can't help but think about the Watchmen quote with Rorschach, where it's like, you think I'm stuck in here with you?
Yeah,
you're stuck here with me.
Yeah,
that's
he did that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he even says that too. Well,
for me, if you're going to kill a character off, you know, to use that word, like the death of somebody, you know, get rid of them. You know, like if you're going to bring back, you know, like Captain America, like, oh, this is Captain Kind of America, you know, like, you know, bring back somebody who's going to be, I just get kind of tired of hearing, you know, the death of Wolverine. Like, I can't take that as like, well, I'm going to go spend my money. Like, oh my God, you know, they're killing off Wolverine. Why? He's going to be back, you know, 2 episodes later. The reason
for that is a Captain Sword of America just doesn't roll off the tongue as quickly. Like, how do you put that on a cover, Captain Sword of America?
It definitely doesn't work as well.
I think they kill characters for closure, especially in like those two instances. It just helps complete the story. Mm-hmm. And if they don't kill them, then people would be pissed off about it. So they can get away with it because it's like a mature title, and then they kill them in the mature title, but then... Yeah. Launch a PG-13 title.
Like, and they can explain anything away with it too, right? Like, that was the other Captain America that died.
Exactly.
This Captain America wouldn't do that. I mean, they do a lot of that shit.
I just feel like, you know, they jerk you around all over the place, you know, and if you want my money, give me a good story. I'll follow you, you know, as long as you keep it good. But just to say, like, oh yeah, this is the death of Deadpool, or you know, this is how he actually dies, you know, because a fucking planet hit him, whatever. You know, I don't know. I just kind of.
That's how Chewbacca died.
Well, that's so you read Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, from issue 1 to 150 or whatever it was where he dies, and that's one amazing complete run on a character, because the Miles Morales stuff is great,
so good,
and you know Peter Parker's back in that, but he's not. He's See, not Spider-Man.
Well, he's trying to figure out who he cool. is, right?
Because it's, you know, still Miles Morales as Spider-Man. Yeah, Spider-Man's dead.
Yeah, they bring in a whole new, I guess, you know, new character, whatever, as, but not to have, like, oh, yeah, but Peter Parker survived for whatever fucking weird reason.
Well, he I want to say...
Well, he shows up, but it's kind of like, this isn't my show anymore. Like, I've got to figure out why I'm not dead. I don't care. You're Spider-Man. Enjoy the...
Yeah.
The.
Are they going to be able to... complete that Peter Parker side story? Yeah,
really easily.
Bendis will He'll do whatever he wants to do.
He'll get dissolved by a planet, and then they won't need to worry
about it. Well, no, but I mean, before... is Ultimate Spider-Man going to continue?
They're doing one last Ultimate thing during the Secret Wars. It's a mini-series called Ultimate End, which is ending the universe, basically.
And
is it going to end it, or is it going to, like, Cataclysm end it?
Who knows? I mean, they say that it's going to end it, and they're going to merge characters. Other things are happening that are kind of cool, exciting... Lame that it's cool and exciting, but like Peter Parker, they've got a whole story arc. What's it called? Renew Their Vows.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm looking forward to that because it seems like they're almost doing an Elseworlds thing with these universes colliding, mm-hmm. where Peter did have a daughter and they got married. That world that you saw that he gave away to Mephisto so Aunt May could live.
Somewhere else.
It kind of feels like they're taking that back and maybe having that be Peter Parker after this.
So let me ask you this.
Which would be great.
Could you ever see them actually dropping, like, I don't know, this would probably be impossible, but, you know, like, let's say they kill Captain America or, you know, kill Spider-Man just completely and bringing in somebody just completely different. So no more Spider-Man, no more Captain America. Could that even be a possible thing?
I think that's what they did with Miles Morales.
Only did that with Daredevil in the Ultimate Universe, too, didn't they? Didn't they kill Matt Murdock off and then they just had some new kid that put on the Daredevil suit and it wasn't Matt Murdock?
But I'm just saying, not even being Daredevil. No, he's saying, or like, not even being Captain America.
Just like Spider-Man's dead and now you've got.
Yeah, because, I mean.
Not while they've got so much tied into him.
Well, yeah, you know, they're so ingrained with the comic book culture. I mean, you really couldn't get rid of that name, Spider-Man, Iron Man. You know, Captain America, but that's why it kind of bugs me that they say the death of, you know, this person, you know, the death of Captain America. Okay, he's gone. Now it's Captain United States. I don't fucking know, you know.
U.S. agent.
You get what I'm saying? Like, you know, if you're going to drop a bomb, why not, you know, just completely, you know, get rid of that character?
I agree.
I don't think they ever could, though.
See, that's a problem. You know, how many people would be upset with the fact that they got rid of this mainstream?
Well, you got to remember, though, they're trying to sell comic books.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so. Yeah, sure. All right. Any others?
I had one last one I wanted to touch on. Did you read this?
I have not read it yet, no.
So those familiar with Terry Dodson, him and his wife do wonderful cheesecake artwork. Yeah, please do.
Yep.
So one of the books he had done... I can't remember the name of it, but it was that hardcover, and it was in French originally, and it was
Muse.
Yeah. It feels like this is similar, and I haven't taken the time to read up on it yet, but it feels like this was originally in French.
Oh, okay.
Because the bubbles don't quite fit and maybe the letterer just did a terrible job, but it feels like
who's the letterer on this? Let's.
Hey, you got two girls.
Shout out to first. Oh,
and it's definitely it's got a lot more of like that European flair to it, as far as like the characters. The main character, the girl, she's a Russian and she's a part of the Soviet Union's. I don't know if it's the SSR, but they're like secret service force, and they've decided that there's this other group in America, this Christian group led by this crazy woman. And they've kind of got this guy that they're building up to be a martyr that they think is going to die. And if he dies, then she's getting more and more political ground. And the problem with that for Russia is the Cold War is winding down. And she's kind of amping up the fuck communism thing. And if she gets more political ground, then the Cold War is going to flare back up. So they want her, they're going to send her over to become a superhero of sorts for the United States to kind of be the anti-that lady. It's not like the greatest of stories. but it's definitely interesting. And but some of the European thing where she's stays in Russia, she stays like with this other couple. It's like a man and a wife. And when she gets there, you get the impression there was like an orgy because everybody's naked and hanging out. You don't see any sex, but they're all just kind of hanging out post orgy.
I found that page actually. Catch your breath.
And so when she gets to the United States, they tell her, they're like, you know, here's $400 to your name. You need to get a job. This is the guy you're going to go to. He doesn't know anything about this. And when she goes there, it's this director that had tried to commit suicide. And she convinces him, like, that she'll take him to his appointment. And when you get there, of course, it's a porno shoot that he's actually directing. And she's never seen a porno because it's, like, in the 70s, or the 60s, 70s, 80s. It's, like, late 70s. So she's definitely, you motherfucker. She's like, oh, this porno's more interesting. I kind of want to hang out and check this out, but I've got work to do. So it's kind of got the cheesecake French flair.
Definitely tell it's an older era, I guess. Yeah,
I liked it a lot, but I like Terry Dodson's art a lot. So
yeah, that's pretty much the reason I picked it up.
And it's fucking like saturated. It's $3, but you know, I think it's probably 48 pages. It's thick.
I noticed that a lot of the frames have a lot of dialogue, like. So
it took me a while to get through that one.
It smells like fuck that. That's so much reading.
I liked it a lot.
Where's the nudie?
Too many words.
You loose bagger. Jesus Christ.
My God.
This guy.
All right. That's Did all you I want to talk about Giant Days? Let me.
I'll talk about it next time.
Okay. Let me touch on, since we were talking about the Secret War stuff with Marvel, what DC's doing is pretty much the same thing with this convergence.
Oh, that's right.
And I read the Zero issue, which felt like I was reading a Grant Morrison book.
Okay.
Fun.
I read the first issue, which came out this week. It's a weekly thing. And it's basically Brainiac has all these worlds from, you know, you've got all the Elseworlds and pre-52 and Kingdom Come and all this stuff, and he's collected them, you know, and now it's finally come. Now they all have to fight, and the winner is basically the new DC universe. So this is them picking and choosing what they want from all the different timelines and multiverses. And they're going to redo the DC universe.
And the way they ended Swamp Thing was so fucking awful. I'm not, like, I've been picking up Convergence, and I can't even bring myself to open it because I was so upset at the ending of Swamp Thing. I'm like.
And that's the only Convergence title I'm actually going to pick up is the two-part Swamp Thing one, yeah, to same. See how that goes. But yeah, I think I'm pretty much done with DC. I still am at least going to pick up the first couple of issues of this Snyder Batman because he is going to still write it. But
oh, is he?
I don't know if you guys have seen the pictures of Batman. He looks like a giant mech bunny.
What?
He's in a mech suit and he has that. Like these bunny ears. And yeah. I get it. He's supposed to look like Batman, but he looks like a bunny. What do you think
DC's problem is with?
They're retarded. We discussed this earlier with their TV and movie. Doing a good job.
I believe that our previous guest Ben said it best by bang bang, bang motherfucker.
Yeah. Shooting from the hip.
Yeah.
Shooting from the hip. They don't have a plan. I mean, whether it's comic books or movies and stuff lately, it's like the new 52 stuff was garbage. At least in my opinion.
Not all of it.
Batman was amazing.
Swamp Thing started out really solid. The first 20 issues of Swamp Thing were awesome, and it kind of took like a downward spiral after.
Yeah, but
that.
I mean, look at it as a whole, though. Like, nobody could really catch on as to, like, where in their story each character was picking up.
There was no time. They never really even came out and gave you a timeline.
Yeah, there was supposed to be that mysterious, like, cloaked person that was in the back of, like, a lot of the first... the first issues and stuff like that was supposedly supposed to help explain some of that never happened. I mean, so it's like, well, how long has Batman been Batman? And like, does he know about same with Superman? And it just, cause I remember picking up a lot of the new 52 stuff for the first several months of it. And it was just, I couldn't catch on. And it, like Green Lantern, that was a clusterfuck. Like that whole thing going into the new 52. It just seems like even if like individual people's, you know, issues were good. Like
the diamond in the rough
and stuff. Oh, yeah. Like, the diamond in the rough. Yeah. Like that's fine. But like, if you take a step back and look at it as a whole, like what the fuck were they doing?
I don't know. So for me, because, you know, I've always liked, you know, what I've seen on, you know, on TV and stuff, as far as, you know, animated series went. I actually kind of picked up when, Red Lantern had came out, you know, and I just came in to the new 52. So at first, everything seemed really neat. So I could see how anybody just getting into it would find everything, you know, refreshing and, you know, and, oh, this is really cool. But where everybody here kind of knows the backstory to everything, I could see how everybody could be.
Well, there was just so many storylines going into it, because there's Blackest Night that actually almost kind of overlapped New 52, because they launched New 52.
It was Flashpoint that went into, that started the 52.
Right, but Blackest Night was, or was it Brightest Day? Blackest
Night was years ago.
But it was, I think, Brightest Day. Like, one of the Green Lantern stories, like, overlapped, like, when they launched New 52. It was, like, still wrapping up when they launched the New 52.
And that caused if you were reading the Green Lantern stuff right before that, it didn't feel like there was a reboot at all. It was just like, oh, and this is doing so well for us, we're not going to mess with this book.
Yeah.
We're just going to continue with the story.
There was just too much confusion.
They need to shit or get off the pot.
Yeah. All right. Should we move into collectibles? Does anyone have anything for collectibles? I actually haven't bought a Lego set in like a month.
Tommy was heading over to the Lego store a few weeks back, and I was over there with Thomas, actually. This was a while ago.
We were
drunk. We'd had some beers and wandered over there.
Yeah.
And they had the Tower of Warthank. They had like three or four of them left, but they were in the corner. I guess the Tower of Warthank from Lord of the Rings.
The one with the
Saruman's Tower.
Gotcha.
So, I guess as they start discontinuing stuff, they kind of move to the back of the store.
Yep.
And we kind of looked around, because that was one I think I wanted to get. It was that or the Simpsons house, because they were both $200. And one of the guys came up and was talking to us, and I'm like, do you have this still? And he's like, yeah, I think we still do. And he walked to the back of the store, and sure enough, on that bottom shelf, there was a few of them left. And he's like, this is actually discontinued, and they don't make it anymore, but we're still getting some in from the warehouse as they're getting rid of them. So a couple weeks later, one of the guys I work with on Saturdays, he had gone over there right after work, and he said they still had them. And it was literally that same week. It was Thursday. This was Saturday that the guy had seen him. Thursday, Tommy goes over there, and I said, let me know if they still got those, because I need to go pick one up. And he's, you know, saying, do you want me to just grab it for you, or do you want me to put it on hold? I'm like, no, I need to actually go home and get money to go pick it up. So I just pick it up in the morning. Just let me know if they've got any. And he calls me up, and he's like, they're gone. They're sold out. I'm like, shit. Son of a bitch. So he's like, if you get online and they still have them online, grab one, because the minute they're gone, they will almost double in price. Mm-hmm. So I got online, looked. They had it, but all I had was cash. So I had to wait the next day, go deposit some shit into my bank, and order. I finally got it. But it's still sitting in the box downstairs. Nice. I haven't touched it yet. But
yeah, I'm waiting for, like, at this point, like, I'm still going to pick up that Flash set, no matter how mad that Batman mech makes me. But after that, pretty much waiting for, like, the Jurassic Park stuff.
Still Doctor not doing the Helicarrier, huh?
Nah,
yeah, right now. You've set your mind on that.
Probably get the Wally set, but there's still no, like, release date on that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I haven't really picked anything up. But they did announce Lego Dimensions.
I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that's exclusive to Wii U.
I can check.
Because they said it was coming out on that, but yeah, didn't mention any others.
They talked a lot about Wii U, and I think...
And I wonder if they're doing it on Wii U for the AR that's already there.
Well, and looking at it, like, I'm not seeing, like, I didn't see an announcement for it. I want to say it's coming out on everything. I really do, but I'm not seeing,
I can't imagine,
like,
they wouldn't.
I don't think...
Or eventually...
Let me go look up I have the press release. Let me go look it up.
Well, he's looking at the press release, so I got something for you, Tyson. I don't know if you're familiar with the imported chess pieces that they do, and they come with the magazine on the character. So they just released one of a Deadpool. They did a special edition of Deadpool, but he's gigantic. It's like this. It's like a mini statue, basically, and it comes with a magazine just on the history of Deadpool.
Oh, nice!
It's pretty. I saw it's that. Pretty badass.
Yeah. You should pick that up.
And to tag on to that, it is everything.
Yeah.
So in the press release, it's coming Xbox One, PS4, Xbox 360, PS3, Wii U, and the Portal is fucking sick looking.
You build it.
It almost
looks like a combination of like the Stargate and like the gateways on Destiny. Oh man, that.
How many pieces does it say?
It doesn't say. It
was 64. So it looks like 64. By the based on the trailer starring Joel McHale that you'll be able to import minifigs, and it looked like vehicles.
Yeah, it looked like some vehicles, some minifigs. There's actually speculation that even the Ghostbusters.
You saw Back to the Future.
Yeah, Back to the Future was in it.
If Ghostbusters are in it, I'll fucking.
Yeah, well, Ghostbusters, they think he's are in it, especially because during that commercial, Joel McHale had a PKE meter.
Yeah,
did he? I didn't catch that.
Yeah, he did. And if you think about it, I mean, any license they've released, they can do, right? Yeah. I mean, they can work with. And it's obviously they're going to fucking
maybe get Ninja Turtles
milk the shit out of it. And it's going to be rough.
So I want to make a...
I'm going to lose so much goddamn money.
Rough milking's never fun. Since we're talking
about
rough milking, it fits in. As well as collectibles, May 31st, which will be after this podcast, we will be doing a swap meet at the Bohemian Brewery for all those in Salt Lake.
Where Tyson will be milking people roughly.
And the rest of us will be selling our collectibles.
Yeah.
How much is this rough milking?
$8.95.
Actually,
I will pay
plus tax.
$8.95 plus tax.
He's got to charge tax, or the government will come milk him.
Some more signs now.
Well, I cannot speak for the milking. The showing up to the swap meet is completely free. It doesn't cost anything. It is going to be awesome. There'll be probably 20 to 30 vendors.
Jesus.
Selling their collectibles or former collectibles. It'll be your soon to be collectibles.
Shit I don't want anymore.
Shit I don't want anymore. My junk can become your cool shit. And then also, I don't think Jimmy heard this yet. The brewery is gonna be doing tours. And it sounds like you'll be able to buy a mug and then you'll get to go on a tour and enjoy all of the beers that they have.
Can I say about the Bohemian
Can you say? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think at this point, there are this many Bohemian Brewery beers.
They have so would you say they're effective?
They have an awesome brunch.
Oh, they do.
Their brunch is pretty awesome.
Fucking tastic.
Yeah, yes. Food is good. And this will be after, probably just after brunch, all the way into the evening. So you'll be able to come. If you want a brat, have a brat, get some beers, or you can go inside and have a nice meal. Enjoy the festivities.
But I'm hungry right now.
Last year, we had a great turnout. We had a lot of cool people come by. And the weather was shit. So yeah. We're hoping for better weather this year.
It'll be better.
Yeah, so...
Oh, yeah.
Well, it turned out well last year. The weather just sucked up until it started.
Yeah.
And we still had tons of people come
out.
So I just wanted to mention
that. And they were on time. That was the crazy thing. I had literally walked to my car to put something else in and grab something. And by the time I got back... fucking everyone was there. I couldn't even get to my table. I'm like,
you know how nerds are. We're very punctual.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, I'm pretty sure the Hello Sweetie girls still have some leftover pogs.
I'm sure that they do.
I hope they can find some Alf pogs for me eventually.
Well, and that's something else we should mention. We'll have some other podcast fellas are going to be hanging out selling their swag. I believe the Fight for Comics guys are supposed to be coming, the Hello Sweetie gals, possibly the Dungeon Crawlers. So there'll be a lot of us there hanging out. Should be a lot of fun.
Yep.
Right on. All right. So, video games.
Oh, I guess I... So, I got the 3DS, the new 3DS.
Right.
The XL. Heather, my wife, was nice enough to go camp out at a GameStop and deal with a really douchey GameStop manager in order to get me one.
Yeah.
It sounds like he wouldn't give her a ticket.
What?
All the other GameStops, you show up, you're in line, they give you a ticket, and then they say, all right, we'll give you a call. You can come pick it up later, you know, or come back in 4 hours.
When I was working there, they generally do it. They had to, every store could kind of do their own thing.
Well, this guy was a douchebag, and I've run into him before, so it wasn't just Heather.
Which store was it?
The Jordan Landing.
Jonathan was a douchebag?
He was not very nice to Heather.
That sucks, because he was my roommate for years. Like, he was one of my close buddies.
He was not very nice.
Jonathan to get his shit together.
She had to sit in the GameStop on the floor for 3 hours in order to get this for me, which I told her she ruined the surprise, because she texted me. She's like, guess what I'm doing? I'm like, that's not a fucking surprise, but thank you very much. You don't have to do it.
That's 3 hours.
I was texting her while she was
horrible. Did she text you too?
Well, no, she didn't text me. I texted her. I had some questions about like scanners for art and stuff like that.
Oh, she mentioned that.
Yeah, and she was like, I'm hanging out at GameStop for the next couple hours waiting to get Lucas the new Majora's Mask 3DS XL. All I text back was, you're a good wife.
And not even as much as I wanted that, I told her, like, I wouldn't fucking do that.
Yeah, fuck that.
But I got one, and I really, really love it.
Are they sold out? Are they hard to find?
They're easier to find now than they were before, and I'm kind of glad I got a second batch, because I understand the first batch had some issues.
Well, and I've dodged the new 3DS XL three or four times now. I dodged it on launch day because you had to reserve it within 5 minutes to pay cash up front, which I didn't have.
Right.
I dodged it the second time because they had it in the store, but I was asking the kid a lot of questions about it, and the biggest problem I have with it is it only comes with a 4 gig memory card, right? 4 gig SD. And my 3DS is a 16 gig SD, and it's full. So I was like, fuck, I have to buy another micro SD,
So
loaded up, and then I just Adam McDonald, being the gentleman he is, offered me one the other day, and I was like, nah.
Let me say this: transferring my stuff from one 3DS to the other was the worst part.
It's awful, I hear.
It's I don't want to say it's awful, but so before when I went from the small 3DS to the XL, I did it over Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. and that's cake. There's an app on both of them. You say transfer from, transfer to, make sure you're on the same Wi-Fi, you don't work. It takes like 30 minutes, and it takes all your shit and puts it on the new one.
Okay.
But the problem when I did that is I lost a bunch of save files, which I shouldn't have, according to their site, but I lost a bunch of save files. So this time I said, I'm going to do the SD version.
Which is what I did when I upgraded my SD card, and it was flawless in like 2 minutes.
Right, and it's the fastest if you know how to do it, because you just, you say transfer, it puts all the stuff on an SD card, you put it on your computer, copy it onto a file on your computer.
Okay.
Then you'll forever have that backup on your computer.
Right.
And then you copy that onto the micro SD.
Now, do you use an app they provide?
Nope.
Okay, you just drag and drop, right?
Yep.
That's what I did with mine. Okay, continue.
So the problem I had with this is, you know, this is an expensive device. It was $200.
Yeah.
But on eBay, they're going for $400 for this particular, like,
right, for the Zelda one, yep.
And part of putting on the new SD card is you have to unscrew and pop off the back. And the back is like clicked in. Ugh. And so to pop it out is a little unnerving. And I even still nicked it up some. So that I didn't love that method, but I didn't want to lose my save files. So I went that route.
Are you finding the 4GB SD that came with it to be okay, to be sufficient?
I bought a new SD card that was 16 because I just figured, fuck it.
Yep.
Because they're cheap. It's like 15 bucks.
Yeah, it's not a huge thing. I guess my problem with the 3DS XL right now that I'm finding as I'm like kind of convincing myself not to buy one and being an adult is that, like, you don't just buy that system. Like, if you're going to trade in your 3DS, then you've got to buy a new charger. You have to buy a whole new SD.
Yeah, and so that was another thing.
It's kind of a weird angle. I don't know.
So it didn't bother me as much, but the new 3DS does not come with an adapter.
Right.
A power adapter. Because
they just assume you have one.
Well, part of the... Well, yeah, so DS or Plenty Back will work on this. And part of the thing, I think, is what has happened is in Europe and the UK, when you buy Nintendo products, you don't get power adapters with them. You buy them separate.
Hmm.
Because I guess it's easier, like, for in the United States, it's more standard that they can include it and not have to worry about packaging a billion different versions. So in the EU and other countries, they'll do just one, and then you buy it separate. So it sounds like it was to save time, and then also they can say this is $200 instead of, you know, I don't know, it's stupid.
$185 plus your adapter, whatever.
Yeah, so the adapter I bought, because I sold my old 3DS.
Did you buy, like, the GameStop off-brand, or what'd you buy?
No, don't buy the GameStop off-brand.
Mine works just fine.
Well, the reason you don't is because it voids your warranty.
Jesus Christ.
How will they know?
Oh, they'll find a
reason. Because it's Nintendo. There's probably some little...
Mario is a greedy motherfucker.
Power Charger Hyman on here or something like that. So,
this was not popped by us.
That'd be a great t-shirt.
This was not popped by us.
The way I chose to transfer was unnerving, but not hard. It was definitely something anybody could do. And if you don't want to do it the way I did, you could do it via Wi-Fi. And it sounds like most people don't have trouble. Buying another power adapter, while shitty, wasn't impossible. Target had them on the shelf for $10. And I had a coupon from this, so I got it for basically free. All of the negatives said, this thing is fucking awesome. The battery life is longer. And the 3D is amazing. So the difference with this, when you would play the other 3DS, which I think like Tyson has one, is you have to hold it a certain amount in front of you, and then you kind of have to keep it square with your face.
Right, and this is supposed to adjust based on the cameras. And
the camera looks at your eyes, and it shows up on here as you set it up as a like the specs. And if you move this at all, it's fine, as long as you keep it within reason of your face to where the camera can see your face. It adjusts the screen so the 3D always works.
Now, does it work well? Because like Samsung had like the eye capture shit on their S4 and S5. And the Note 2 and the did not work for fucking anything. No. It was god
awful. I'd be staring at it. It's like, we cannot detect your eye. I'm like, it's fucking right. Yeah. What are you doing? I got two of them shits. I'm looking right at you.
In my opinion, it works great.
Okay.
Because before this, I didn't use 3D. Like, every once in a while, I'd turn it on with Zelda and be like, okay, this part's... Okay, yeah, it looks cool, and I'll turn it off. But for the most part, I would ignore it. After this, I was going back to other games like... Zeo Drifter, which is awesome, and it's just a side-scroller 8-bit, but it has the 3D effect in it, and I turned it on and played it, and it was amazing. And it's nice because you can comfortably kind of sit back and relax and set it up how you want and enjoy playing. The battery life's better. The C-Stick, the extra analog they put for the camera stuff works great. It's kind of different. It's like this little nub. It's not like a tactile button.
Can I see how big it is? Is it
as... It's as big as it gets.
Well, no, but can I see
how I'm asking it is? Because... So it's a little bit... It's a little bit smaller than the nub they had on the Vita or the PSP, but it also it's almost like a little rubber like.
Yeah, it's weird. It's not like a.
It's like a little clit.
Kind of, yeah. It's kind of like the man in the boat.
Yeah, we all know so much man about those.
I know where those are.
Yeah.
Thomas never had Tom's sex. Face.
It feels like a bag of sand. If you want, go into Majora's Mask on the top left and pick a game and then click the 3D on to see what it's like. I love my 3DS.
And I think that's important that you say click the 3D on because that slider is fucking stupid.
Well, it does have a click at the bottom like it snaps off.
Right, but it's not like a full-on slider, is it, that you slide up and down? It's
yeah.
Just like, oh, it is? Hmm.
Yeah, you slide the effect, because I have to go like in the middle, because if you go all the way to the top, it fucks me up. Because the whole 3D effect is created by two screens moving independent of each other.
Yeah, stereoscopic.
The 3D on this
exactly.
Way better.
So if you... Your eyes are different than mine, that's why. But anyhow, so with the 3DS, I love it for the mobile gaming. I love having a console that I can sit on the couch and just enjoy feathers, watching a show or reading. And I prefer to play a lot of...
To interrupt you real quick, I was just looking at this, and it was like... At first it looked kind of wonky, and then it's like it found my eyes, and it...
Well, I'm sure you had the mic there.
Snap. No, I mean like just when I stuck back, and now it like found my eyes.
It's pretty sweet, right?
Yeah.
Try a Zero Drifter, too. And so... I can't remember what I was saying.
Sorry.
Zero Drifter. The 3DS, so sitting down, I... The games like Zeo Drifter, this 8-bit game, Shovel Knight, like the Angry Video Game Nerd game that's coming out, or any of these old 8-bit classic games, I prefer playing on this handheld versus like on a console. You know,
sure.
I like those indie experiences here. And with the Nintendo market, they go on sale all the time. You're getting them for like $5. In my experience, I've bought
a
lot
right.
of them.
You're right. I have my own opinion on Nintendo pricing, but yes, you're right. They do go on sale.
This is how out of touch I am, just really quick. Does it take cartridges, or is it all downloadable?
It does
shit?
Do cartridges as well.
Oh, okay.
Or you can do exclusively download if you want, now.
And the cartridges are essentially, they look like a big SD card, but they have a little tab on the corner to make them Nintendo SD cards.
Gotcha.
But they're a fucking SD card.
How fast will you fill up, like, I was talking about upgrading to a 16 gig.
I had a four.
He's way drunk.
You know what, Kylie?
I'm just looking over at him. He's like,
Esteban's going to fight Kylie after the podcast.
See, I had a 4 gig and I didn't have any problem, but I mostly buy cartridges. I don't download the games because I don't trust the transfer.
And I'm the opposite. I do almost predominantly digital. The only games I generally buy physically, like I'll buy one Pokemon and then I'll do the digital of the other version so I can trade easier between them. And I had to upgrade to a 16 gig because my 8 gig was full. And my 16 gig, I think I have quite a bit of space, like a little bit of extra space, but it's...
So generally, those games don't take up too much.
They're like...
Even 3D, the 3D.
They're like... Well, they're a couple hundred meg, usually, depending on how...
Fuck you guys.
You just look so wasted. Like,
so are they like the 3D? 3D,
the best is when they're talking, I look
what
over,
are we talking
and he's literally
about?
Like this. And I'm like...
His face is melting.
Yeah.
But there, I mean, there are
you
a couple
hundred.
You can
upgrade the SD cards for relatively inexpensive.
And that's just a regular SD card you can get on Amazon.
And
you
it's
just
a
pop
mic-
it in yourself.
And it's not proprietary. It's a micro. So unlike like, so I just bought a 16 gig for my Vita, which cost me like $30. You can buy a 16 gig for this for 15 bucks on Newegg or Best Buy or whatever.
Totally. I would say is, for me, it was totally awesome, especially since Heather surprised me with it, but if you're at a small 3DS, making the jump to an XL, this new XL is like a no-brainer. Check out that. You'll love that. I'll leave it. If you already have a 3DS XL, it's got better battery life. It's got better 3D. It's got the little nub, and the controls
the
are laid out.
I'm loving this nub.
Yeah, it's
like
got
that.
The man in the boat, but the controls are laid out different. The start and the select button are on the left or on the right, and then the home button is a tactile button. So it's
what do you?
It's better.
Yeah. What is the battery life when you talk about better battery life? What are you getting?
I've never timed it, but I'd probably say like 6 to 8 hours. It's I downloaded bad. Box Boy, and I played that nonstop, and I only had to charge it like once or twice, and see, that was a weekend game, you know?
So that's nice, the last 3DS that I messed with, there was like a little thing that controlled the 3D? Is that...
This right here. Okay. Tyson's so got a full blast, there. But you can...
Ah, okay.
I got that shit turned up.
Yeah, you do. Damn, it's that. This is pretty for cool. What?
So you wanted to ask me some questions about it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you basically filled it in for me. I just, because I'm so, like I said, I'm still rocking a first gen. I bought the 3DS on launch day, as I buy most of my consoles on launch day and my handhelds, and I haven't, I've been holding out, and I thought this was going to be the one that I was going to upgrade to, and I have dodged it, and I'm just wondering.
I've loved it. They've said that they weren't going to be releasing the smaller 3D in the new format, but then it sounds like Chris has been doing some reading and they're hinting around that they might now. So if you prefer the smaller format, they might be doing it. I prefer the XL. The screen's better. Yeah. Better battery life.
The only reason I haven't upgraded is the fact that since Omega Ruby came out, my 3DS has been sitting charging next to my bed. I haven't pulled it out.
Yeah, and that's,
or played my 3DS.
I've been playing this for 60 seconds. I want to go buy one. This is pretty badass.
See, and part of the thing is like, if you want to play it over here. So part of the thing is if, like for me, I don't care to play games on Steam, like little indie games. I just, I will sometimes, Steam? I like Steam. But you know, I'm a console kid and I like sitting on the couch hanging out with my wife while I play a game. And so with this, I get to have that market, not to the extent of Steam, but I've got like Box Boy, Shovel Knight, some of the big hitters.
I should know this, but Hotline Miami, is that on this game, this console?
I don't know.
Because you need to play the fuck out of that game. So good.
Maybe I will.
You should.
Apparently he has a submarine.
And then this also has two R buttons and two L buttons.
Oh, nice.
I don't know what for, but that does.
You know, it might be, like, my R button on my 3DS is starting to go out. Like, I have to mash it. When there's an R involved, I'm, like, hammering on it.
Slamming it in.
The yeah, I'm like, oh my god, I have to hit R.
Anyway. I don't know. I love it.
And honestly, like,
the 3D is a huge difference.
It is.
That's a selling point.
And I'm a little upset at myself for not buying the Zelda one that Adam offered me, because looking at it now, like outside of the package, not just in marketing, it's a good fucking looking system. It looks really good.
Yeah, the gold is subtle. It's not too crazy. And then the Majora's Mask on it. It's got Majora's Mask in the center, and then the other mask you wear in the game around the outside of it.
Maybe for the holidays.
I'm sorry. I assume it comes with the game.
No.
What the fuck? That,
like Nintendo. Like,
does it come with Majora's Mask? No, it depends on the bundle. This one, I think they were trying very hard.
So you're just getting it for the skin?
So Nintendo, I think
they were trying very hard to hit the $200 price mark, and that's why you didn't get the power adapter, and that's why you didn't get the game.
I think Nintendo's fucking greedy, but that could be a separate
debate. That's a whole other debate. You can argue that all you want.
I figured that fucking thing would be built into the system.
No, that would cost them money.
But if you bought the Monster Hunters 3D, it comes with it. It does.
Are you sure?
Positive.
But it's...
Positive.
Okay, because I was under the impression that none of their bundles came with anything.
Whoa.
Well, my Zelda one.
Right, but that was like a holiday bundle.
So...
I disagree with this game.
This game's awesome.
So drunk. We should take him somewhere to fight people.
So if you get the cartridges, Kylie, this is what they look like. So I've got a couple here you can look at.
So
in the interest of time...
Yeah.
I feel like we should...
I want to go watch some Daredevil.
Well, no.
Can we mention Box Boy?
Let's just talk about Box Boy and Axiom Verge and Quick MKX and be done. I don't even want
to... So go through the rest of the
we can cut the whole debate at the end out, because it'll just be me and Lucas yelling at each other.
That's good shit.
So...
Well, I just want to touch on Box Boy, since we're talking the 3DS. If you have a 3DS and you're looking for something else to play on it, Box Boy, I don't know if it's... still is, but it was on sale for $5. It's normally $10. It's a really cool puzzle game that was put out by the guys that do Kirby. What is that development team? Fuck, I can't.
Treehouse?
No, Lab. Something Laboratories. I can't remember. I suck.
Doesn't matter. Kirby Labs.
Anyhow, go. So Box Boy, it's a great puzzle game. You hear a box, and you can replicate yourself. Like in any direction, up, down, left, or right, and then you get a certain amount depending on the level, like two to the right, two up, and you can make shapes with it, and you kind of get these small abilities that then you have to get to the end of the world and solve it using them. And it's a lot of fun. For the $5 or $10, I spent probably a good 7 or 8 hours, and I haven't done all the challenge maps, so it's a good fun puzzle game, and it's available on just the 3DS right now. I highly recommend it.
Right on. Axiom Verge.
Okay, so Axiom Verge, this is actually a PlayStation exclusive right now. I've heard it's coming to PC at the end of the year. It's on PS4 only. It will go to PS Vita. I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't port it to PS3 at some point. But basically, it's kind of a Metroidvania clone.
It looks awesome.
It's amazing. The best way I can describe it is if you took like Geiger artwork. I don't know if it's Geiger or Geiger.
I always pronounce it Geiger. But
yeah, but if you take Geiger artwork and made it into a Metroid game. So basically, you're a scientist doing some crazy experiment. You hit a button, shit goes wrong, and you wake up in like the side of this egg. And you're fighting these weird alien things. You have like a gun that's biomech, and you shoot bullets, and then you start unlocking different guns.
How do you shoot those bullets?
Like this.
So, what is this?
It's on PS4.
In a masturbatory way.
And then it'll go to Vita eventually, and then hopefully PC, and I'm sure it'll start going to other consoles as well.
Goddamn better. You look at it, and you're like, how can this not be on PS3?
Well, and the reason was, is this guy, so Thomas Happ, has been making this game for 5 years. And about two and a half years, and he works as a game developer at another studio.
Does it take you some time, like a Metroid or something?
It does. Like, I was actually upset that it was $20. I'm like, this game's fucking $20. It's like an indie title. I'm probably 10 hours in, and I'm not done yet. And I'm having a hell of a lot of fun. So it's worth the $20. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But so he's been working on it for years, and he's a Sony fan, but Sony actually saw what he was doing and said, hey, we'll publish this for you. We'll give you the money you need to finish this and help you get this out. And so that's why it's hitting Sony exclusively right now. But the cool thing is he did the game all by himself. All the code.
Is there a dog in here?
All the art. It was me. All the design. All the design.
Doesn't skip a fucking beat.
And he also did all the soundtrack. He has no musical background. He went out and bought like a synth and a few things and did the entire soundtrack himself. And it's fucking...
Should have hired Lucas.
Yeah, no, it's... Yeah.
Could you imagine like this dark Metroid Geiger game?
Yeah.
Lucas, I hate to tell you, but his soundtrack is way better than your fart song. Like 10 times better.
We want to talk about soundtracks. We're not going to talk about it. Okay. It Follows. Go buy that soundtrack. The guy that did Fez.
Right? So good.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, so classic.
Everybody listening, look that shit up.
And the thing is, the whole reason I loved Insidious was that same reason, that classic horror soundtrack. Mm-hmm. It Follows, same thing. Anyway.
Let's talk about MKX.
It's awesome. Name. Move on.
The launch trailer is fucking stupid.
No, really? The one with the Mortal Kombat song? Where it's like Mortal Kombat, no. And everybody's running from everywhere.
No, that one's really good. I'm talking about awesome. I'm talking about the one to Chop Suey that is fucking stupid as shit.
Oh, I didn't watch that shit.
It's fucking terrible.
But
I watched it. I thought it was
the other one's awesome, where everybody's running out.
Yeah, where the dudes are like, fight! And they all run to the curb and everybody's fighting. That one was good, but the new one that's cut to Chop Suey is just dog shit.
Because
Chop Suey's a shitty song, and that's a shitty trailer. The end.
I'll agree with that. So, this Mortal Kombat, you're going to buy it.
Yep, day one.
And then we're going to come over there so I can kick everybody's ass.
So, right? I actually have an idea, and I think we should do it. And this came from the Entertainment is Dead forum. We were all chatting. We want to line up like 30 or 40 solo cups full of random alcohols.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And play Mortal Kombat.
I'm not sure. Chuck's idea.
Yes, it was.
I know.
Yeah.
God damn it. I've told Lance so many fucking times to stop trying to roofie me. I'm not coming to your fucking house and drinking mystery booze out of cups.
So, here's the thing is it'll be beer, 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 mystery alcohol. Beer, 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 mystery alcohol.
I'm not doing that.
No, it's going to be shit. Rough as shit.
I'm not doing
it. I don't want to get roofied.
Yeah. But the thing is like, I'm really...
I've punished my liver enough as it is. I don't need you fuckers fucking
but I'm really worried about Mortal Kombat. So I was talking to some of the fighting game guys in Salt Lake City, and they were like, so you picking up? I'm like, of course I am. Like, my stick's ready for PS4. It's modded. I'm going to play the hell out of it.
My stick's ready.
My... the flesh is willing. So... But there's a lot of people that already know what character they're playing, what variation of the character. Like, because, you know, you can pick three different play styles. And I am not even close to there yet. Like, I'm going to get the game on day one, and I'm going to try every single variation of every single fucking character. It's going to take me a week to even figure out what I'm doing.
Why does that worry you, though?
Because they're already prepped, which means they're going to have, like, 2 weeks ahead of me to, like, get their shit
down. They're prepping for a fucking video game.
Like, yeah, and they're going to beat me at it, and it will not be okay.
For a couple weeks, you'll catch up.
Oh, I don't know.
Jimmy, what are you excited
about?
That's
some first world shit. Mm-hmm. I think it looks awesome, and it's very fucking violent. Which, whatever, it's Mortal Kombat, so it's always been fucking violent. But
this is extraordinary.
I think there's enough variety to keep it going for a lot longer than Injustice.
What do you think about Jacqueline Briggs as a character? Like,
bring him on. I don't care who's in the fucking game. It just looks fun.
I guess for me, like, seeing her be in it. I'm like, oh, cool, that's Jax's daughter. Oh, she has robotic hands for some fucking reason.
Because it's his daughter. Jax
has robotic
because
arms.
Robotic arms are genetic.
This is how
apparently.
DNA works, Gatch.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I don't know that that's a real gripe when they have like Predator. It has nothing to do with Mortal Kombat.
I know.
Or Jason.
Isn't Jason
part it has nothing to do with Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, Predator, Jason.
So it's hard to gripe about mechanical hands when there's characters that aren't even.
Are we going
to
get Batman?
We should throw Alien in there.
Might as well.
We got
Scorpion and Injustice.
They're going off the fucking reservation
not Batman,
with the DLC.
It'd be Superman to go up against those guys.
Fuck that.
How
dude.
many more Mortal Kombat do you think they can pump out before it just becomes
a million? Because Mortal Kombat 9 was supposed to be Deception was supposed to be the last Mortal Kombat with this cast ever. That was a load of shit. Nether Realms.
Yeah, as long as they can sell it, they will.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Well, I'll definitely be playing it with you assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind playing like Mortal Kombat with like Barack Obama or something. You know.
Oh my god.
And on that note,
oh my god, that's what this podcast has turned into.
I blame you.
What I would I'm like sorry. To do with Barack Obama.
Oh my god, can we do that as an episode?
All right, everyone, thanks for listening. Hopefully we will see you guys at the swap meet. Just a couple notes. We're actually recording another episode. We'll call it a bonus episode this month, most likely from the Bohemian Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
So be watching for that. And then we'll be recording from Modagogo's superhero show in May, most likely. Mm-hmm. So we'll let you guys know the details. Watch out on the Facebook and Twitter page. Be sure if we are there, especially at Modagogo, drop by and say hi. Check out all the awesome artwork. And we'll see you guys at the swap meet at the end of May. Thank you for listening to the Big Shiny Podcast. If you're listening to us on iTunes, please leave us a rating and a review. The Big Shiny Podcast is brought to you by the Bohemian Brewery, located at 94th East, 7200 South in Midvale, Utah, and you can find them online at bohemianbrewery.com. We're also brought to you by superherostuff.com and secretcompassonline.com. And be sure to check out bigshinyrobot.com and visit our podcast page for some more great podcasts in the Big Shiny Robot podcast family.